Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC, and this is the best animated shows ever, so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually.
That's right. I'm sorry I was distracted. I'm sitting on a very low profile chair, and there's an air vent near me, and for some reason our AC just kicked on, and so I have like freezing cold air blowing straight at me, and it's very uncomfortable. Anyway, yeah, hey, it's us, and this is Gate, and this is our last episode talking about Gate. I have nothing for the intro. I have nothing. Do you want to just go do it?
Yeah, no, well, that's what we said last time we're going to do. We're going to go straight into the episode.
That's right, I forgot. Should we do these messages first, or should we do these messages before the mailbag? Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
MC, this is Gate, Season 1, Episode 3, Fire Dragon.
Yep. Fire Dragon.
Which I am incapable of saying without going, Fire Dragon. Yeah. Can't be done.
Okay.
I like this episode. So, if you remember MC, and I know it was a long time ago that we discussed this, so it might be hard to remember, but at the end of the last episode, Itami Yoji had found a unconscious elven girl in a well. Oh no. And so this episode starts with, we got to get the girl out of the well. And I thought this was going to be like a whole long part of the episode. And instead it was just like, okay, we got the girl out of the well. She's out of the well now. We got her.
Yeah. It was like immediate.
What's cool though, is then we get to meet the medic on the team. And she like, has to take care of the elf, and immediately they're like, okay, I'm a doctor. These clothes got to go, but good thing that there's nothing sexualized about this and won't be ever because I'm a doctor and I'm just taking her clothes off because I'm a doctor. So she takes her clothes off of her and goes to work trying to get her healed up and gets her stable, but she's still unconscious.
Yeah, and she pretty much, for most of the episode, is just passed out in the back of their jeep. They go back to the other town and they're like, nah, we can't. We're all getting out of here.
I was unclear on that. Is this a town they've been to before? Or did they go to
that's,
a new town? Okay.
That's the one that they visited before they got told about the town in the forest.
Gotcha. And so they take her back there because they're like, what do we do with her? And Itami Yoji, uses his little dictionary where he's been learning some local phrases to try to explain to them, like, big lizard, fire, death, girl, alive, well, naked. And they're like, okay, what? And they're like, we should go. I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but it sounds like there might be a fire-breathing dragon burning people and dropping chicks into a well, naked. And he's like, naked. And again, not sexualized at all. Not at all. So then, except for his driver buddy, who's like, a naked elf girl, and she's a blondie. That's so hot. I'm going to do it with her. And it's
I don't think that was in the Japanese episode all that much. Like, because I watched subtitled.
I mean, when he went and told them about the dragon, he didn't say naked over and over again. I'm building up to the fact that when she wakes up later, they do like 18 shots of her like naked legs and abdomen and arms just to make sure that you know that she's naked, because the person who made this show thinks it's really important that she's naked. I'm just building up to that.
And I want to talk about the wizard.
Let's talk about the wizard. He's great.
Yeah. He is a book-loving wizard. He has all these books, and they're trying to escape, like all the villagers.
He's got an assistant who's a girl named Lele.
And they essentially overpack their cart, and they have to use magic, even though he goes and tells Lele that magic is not working.
You're skipping over so many important bits. Like the bit where she says something about, like, we've got to hop on and ride. And he's like, are you kidding? You're way too young for me. But your older sister now, that's a hottie that I would totally have sex with. And then she blows him over with the magic.
Yeah, that does happen.
This Master Roshi motherfucker right here, MC, why does every anime have to have one character who's like, sex, right?
No, well, we haven't seen her sister yet, maybe. Okay, yeah, that is kind of creepy.
It's not, listen, I'm not trying to be, like, anti-sex positivity, but, like, I guess, you know what, I called him a Master Roshi motherfucker, and that wasn't fair, because Master Roshi's extremely pervy, where this guy, as far as we've seen so far, isn't really that pervy, he's just, like, sex forward, and he just assumes that if you say, hey, you want to go for a ride, that you're talking about your vagina and not a horse. That's just where his mind's at, you know?
In the anyway,
he's a lot of fun. He's a goofy guy.
Yeah.
And he's animated beautifully. Like, the first time you see him, he's going down these stairs, and, like, I was, like, jaw on the floor at how expressive the walk cycle animation was of just this
and
guy walking
the
down
tumble
the stairs.
And yeah. Just the books going everywhere. It was really nice. And that house built mm-hmm. into the waterfall with the wheel, it's just beautiful, the whole scenery and everything.
Yeah.
That was just so lovely.
Clearly, like, something's gonna happen. This dude's not gonna be an ongoing character, I don't think, because he's not a sexy anime girl. So his assistant is clearly going to be a main character on the show, because she is. But I wonder if we'll come back to their little mage's hut, because it was a very cool design. But yeah, magic's not supposed to be used for things like knocking over your old pervy master. And then he's like, anyway, let's use magic to lift up the cart. And she's like, I thought we weren't supposed to use magic. And he's like, shut up, I'm a wizard.
Yeah. Then we get into a traffic jam.
Into a traffic jam?
Yeah, with all the carts.
Okay.
They roll up in their cart to, like,
right
where everyone's, like, trying to leave this village, and the Japanese Defense Force is there, and, like, they're helping out these people who are injured, and this horse goes crazy, and
mm-hmm. and he's about to kick the mage girl in the head until one of the soldiers just shoots it with a gun, just very much deaded, which is, like, I mean, probably saved that girl's life from getting kicked in the head by a horse, so that's good, but it was graphic, like, blood splatter everywhere. It was like the second most intense, like, sudden graphic moment in this episode.
The first being when Itachi stabs that dude in the neck.
No, for this episode. The first being when the dragon eats the dragon.
Oh yeah.
Spoilers. And then we meet Rory, right?
Yeah.
Rory the Reaper, who is the gothic Lolita chick that Yoji saw in his mind in the first episode.
We get, like, a little bit of the army helping people, and being normal.
Oh, my wheel's
people.
Stuck. Oh, okay, let's unstuck your wheel. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, okay, that comes later. So Rory, real quick, because Rory's kind of an aside at the moment here. She's like, hey, you bandits, you are some evil people. But check it out, I'm a gothic Lolita chick, and I'm gonna murder you all, because the dark god loves it when I murder bad people. And then she just goes on a killing spree with a giant freaking axe, and it's awesome.
It's a scythe.
But, okay. Well, that makes more sense with her name being the Reaper. I thought it was an axe blade, but you're probably right. And she deadeds all of them, and she's a super good fighter and stuff, even though she's wearing a gothic lead outfit, because, again, women can't wear armor. They have to wear the most revealing things they can possibly wear. Lots of shots where it's, like, not an upskirt shot, but it's also not an upskirt shot. Like,
lots of leg.
Lots of leg. An insane amount of leg. Yeah. This girl's got legs for 12 days. Exactly 12 days.
I like when she catches up with the army and she's just, like, sitting in the commander's lap, just the Itachi's lap.
Yeah.
And he's all she's uncomfortable. Like, and
because one of the locals is like, check out these carriages. They're way more comfortable than a normal carriage. And she's like, more comfortable, eh? Let me hop on that dick. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant. It's weird. Because she's like, I mean, I guess this is like, you know, a positive thing. She's like, hey, I want to grind up all on your junk and I'm going to do it now. And like, cool for her for having that like wherewithal for doing that. But also like, he's trying to tell you to stop and you're not listening. And that's not cool. Like, no means no, no matter who's saying no. And the driver guy is all just like, I'm just going to sit over here and masturbate while you do that because it's so hot. And he's like, stop it. This is not the thing. No. Just stop.
Yeah. And the driver is like kind of upset with him because she's clearly the catgirl image, Lolita looking thing. Like that's her whole aesthetic, is like, she's got like cat ears and...
She's a real gothic Lolita. That you can only find in a mystical, magical fairyland.
I mean, and the elf... She just puts her scythe on top of the elf.
The elf definitely has, like, a reaction, it seems like, when the gothic Lolita shows up. Even though she's unconscious, she kind of is like... And so I'm like, ooh, is there, like, some conflicting energies there? Is the elf, like, a scion of the good god? And Rosie, whatever her name is, a scion of the dark god? And there's, like... celestial tension between, I don't know. We don't find out, because then a dragon shows up and they're like, oh man, check out that dragon that's flying over the ridge. We definitely got to keep an eye on that dragon. And then as they're looking at that, a bigger fish shows up and just chomps that dragon out of the air, and Qui-Gon Jinn goes, there's always a bigger fish. And then they have to fight the big fish, which is a dragon.
Yes, that's essentially what happens. And so they're fighting the dragon, and it's They're just going around shooting at it, and they're not really making any progress. And then the elf girl wakes up and tells them to shoot at its eye.
And this is where the camera makes sure that you know that this elf girl is a naked elf girl. They make sure you're aware of it. So many shots of her legs and everything.
Also, there's an arrow in one of the dragon's eyes as well.
Which is cool. Super badass.
Yeah.
Do they show the villagers during this fight scene? I didn't.
Yes,
I didn't...
they. There's some shots of the orphans and some other characters. And there's a lot of fire. And
but it's basically the military is in battle here. Like the villagers aren't doing much because it's a giant dragon. Right. Like, it's such a big dragon.
And then an RPG. An RPG gets pulled out of somewhere and fired at the dragon, and oh no, they hit a bump, so it's gonna miss. And then Rory jumps out and does something, and it moves the dragon enough to put it in the path of this rocket and blows off one of the dragon's arms. It's really well shot, I thought, like drawn, I mean.
Yeah, the dragon is definitely CGI, but they do, the way that they have stylized it fits in with the animation of the show really, really well. So if you're watching for it, it's clear that it's CGI, but if you're not watching for it, it just, like, it blends really well, and it's a really cool-looking action scene. Like, I like this scene a lot. It's good. The thing that confused me, the reason I was asking if they showed the villagers, is because I guess a lot of them died. Because after the dragon flies away, pretty sure, MC, that dragon only have one arm when he flew away. I'm pretty sure one of his arms got blown completely off.
Yeah, it did.
So they, the next scene is they're having like a funeral thing for like a bunch of people who died. Because apparently a lot of the villagers died in that attack.
That's what was implied by all that fire, I think, as well. And some of the burning carriages. I think that was implying that people were dying, but we didn't actually see the villagers die. And then there's just like a whole field of flowers with glowing lights. And it's like, oh yeah, we're having a funeral for all the people who died. And it's like, what? How many people just died?
So many people. Apparently. I mean, the way it looks is a lot of people. And as they leave, because basically they're like, hey, thanks for the military escort, but we're going to go on our own way now. But they are like, we cannot possibly take any extra people with us, even though apparently a lot of us just died. So we should like have some room. We cannot possibly take anybody extra with us. So the wizard, the wizard's assistant, the elf girl, and the gothic Lolita all have to stay with you now.
And all of the orphans.
I didn't catch that. I thought it was just those. I thought they were just like, listen, those three sexy girls and the old man have to stay with you.
There's like a half dozen children as well, right? In that picture.
Okay. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
And they all set off to go back to the gate, basically. Yeah. To the hill that the gate is on.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting because, like, that place is a bloodbath, as was previously been established. But hey, when we get there, Yoji Itami will get to meet, or Itami Yoji, why do I always do it backwards? We'll get to meet another, like, sexy anime girl because the chick with the boob window will be there, presumably, because she was sent off to try and retake the hill in the last episode.
Yeah.
And then there will be four anime girls hanging out with this military envoy, which seems like a lot. I feel like three anime girls to hang out with your military envoy is an appropriate amount. Four anime girls seems like you're overdoing it.
I mean, it might even be more than four, because remember they said that it was a flight, like, she has more people with her.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's it. Best and worst? Worst first? You get to go first this time.
I probably think the over-sexualization of some of the characters in some of the bits, that's probably the worst thing for me.
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's kind of more upsetting to me because it's like not explicit with some of them, like with the elven chick. It's just like she happens to be naked. Like the Lolita, I'm like, all right, she is a sexual character, it seems like.
And the old wizard is kind of a sexual character,
right? But like the gratuitous shots showing that the elven girl is naked just felt like voyeuristic and weird to me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, I don't need that to be there. That's what I was gonna say, MC. So instead I will say my worst was at one point when they're dealing with the wagons being stuck and overloaded and stuff, they need to get the people moving, and the people aren't moving because their wagons are stuck, and then it cuts to the convoy on the move again, and one of the soldiers is talking to Itami and like, hey, that was crazy, I can't believe you did that. And he's like, yeah, I know, but they were too busy being worried about their shit and not walking, so I burned their shit. I just burned it on fire, and it's destroyed now, because that way they'll start moving again. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. Yeah, so my happened. Worst there would be, I guess, just that, like, that weird switch that he can put on where, like, he can become a cold mother.
Although it shows you, like, essentially, like, what he has to go through to, like, be in this role as a commander of this army unit.
My best thing was probably just the animation in general in this episode, I thought was really good. Like I said, the wizard walking down the stairs looked great. The dragon looked great. The Lolita chick, as much as, like, I didn't need so many angles showing how many legs she has. She has so many legs, MC. The way that she moved was really cool. She does a lot of acrobatics and stuff, and it's all really beautifully animated. So, I think that, like, stylistically, I mean, this show, it kind of just looks like run-of-the-mill anime. There's not a lot of, like, exaggerated motion or things like we saw in Mob Psycho 100.
I'm going to tell you something that I feel about it, and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, a little Avatar The Last Airbender.
The way the motion happens, it kind of is similar to that. The character design is kind of generic to me, but the animation is really an exceptional example of this style of animation. How about you? What was your best?
Kind of hard to decide. Actually, I'm gonna go with the wizard's house, but like, they're in the waterfall, Obviously, there's some sort of water wheel there or something in the house, and it just looks very stylistic and very cool. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what, like, out in the middle of nowhere in this weird wheelhouse, that's exactly where you expect some wizard to be living.
Yep. It looked correct for him.
Yeah.
I agree. Cool. With that, we're going to check the mail after these messages.
Do you like K-pop?
Anime?
Astrology?
General shenanigans?
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Haley,
host of the UWU podcast.
Chelsea, what's UWU?
UWU is the feeling you get of too much cuteness or an overwhelming feeling of happiness.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Catch us almost everywhere podcasts are available.
Podcasts so cute, it'll make you go,
UWU!
Is it time for mail?
Mail.
Let's check the mail.
Mail.
Hey, it's Troy here. MC could not make it for our mailbag section again, so it's just me. It's just me with some mail from Reddit regarding Gate. Overall, the response to asking the anime subreddit about Gate was kind of meh. We didn't get a lot of, like, emphatic excitement coming out about Gate. Everyone was just kind of like meh. That was kind of the most positive response I got, I think. Let me pull it up here though so we can talk about some specifics. So on the idea of it being okay, we had a Zero Ryoko 1974, FDA Jax, Quadra Kev, and Julius Caesar 77 talking about that it's okay, it's, you know, middle of the road, but it is good at answering the question of, like, as FDA Jack says, would modern day military tactics and technology win over medieval fantasy, dragons and magic included? Answer, such a curb stomp, you think it was a war crime. That's kind of the overall feedback I got was that, it's okay. It's cool to see Earth military versus fantasy military. That's an interesting idea, but, you know, it's kind of middle of the road. It's kind of a not totally original story. Let's see here. Julius Caesar 77 talks about how if you watch too much anime, it's a nice refreshing twist on the otherworld idea. If you don't watch much anime, it's probably better because you'll be surprised by the premise, they say. I personally found that watching the Japanese Defense Force absolutely smack cheeks on these dragon-riding fantasy soldiers to be very satisfying. And that's kind of where people are. But then there's also the problem of it being kind of a military fantasy. Julius Caesar 77 actually touches on that as well, which is overall for what the anime is, which is basically just a military power fantasy, it's pretty good. But on the less positive side, there's people who really don't like the propaganda aspect of it. PW Arrow says, I don't have many strong negative opinions about anime. Lots of shows I'm indifferent towards or think are personally not enjoyable, but different strokes for different people. I fucking hate Gate. I'm pretty sure I originally made this Reddit account in response to a Gate thread. I think it's a flaming sack of imperialistic, pro-military, hawkish propaganda with a healthy dollop of self-insert wish fulfillment on the side to entrap some unsuspecting viewers with the promise of cool action and waifu bait. And then there's Tora Shinai who says, yikes, an even more obvious propaganda than Let's Make Babies, Darling in the Franxx. Darling in the Franxx is another show. I don't know about it, but Let's Make Babies sounds like pretty propagandish stuff. You have to accept that aspect of Gate. And then there's one other piece of feedback I want to talk about here, which is from Dwarmer Thrax. Dwarmer? Is that? That's from, like, the Elder Scrolls games, right? I think. Anyway, they say manga's much better. It's to the point that I have trouble recommending the anime to people. They said there's a lot of stuff in it, but it's basically that there were changes made to the anime to make it more marketable. They talked about
making Rory taller in the anime, making, you know, kind of just emphasizing the things that would be used to recruit people to join the JSDF, I believe. They say as far as the propaganda comments go, it's not as cut and dry as some viewers think it is. It's pro regular soldier, but with the details covered in the manga, the upper brass come across as far more questionable and more imperialist. The one woman who came across as a bit of a straw man bothered a few people, but she was based on a real person who I looked up ages ago, but I can't for the life of me find her again. And then somebody else dug into that and found the real world counterpart and stuff, and they said there's a shallow takeaway from her character, and the author clearly does not like her very much. Damn stupid female reporters / politicians who keep nagging us about ethics, am I right? And I'm assuming that am I right means that's sarcastic. But yeah, that's really, I think the biggest struggle with the show is that it is very much, it seems to be built around the idea of, like, look how cool the military is. And that's, you know, a perspective that a lot of people, me included, have problems with. But yeah, I was surprised not to get anybody who came out in strong support of this show, because I do think it's really well animated and I think the core concept is kind of cool, but I think that maybe that messaging just was enough to kind of make it not have really a staunch following. It's interesting because I could see this working better for a Western audience, or rather for folks who are more tuned into Western culture, by which I basically mean, like, you know, think about G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is a show about how cool the military is, and I grew up eating that shit up. And I think that there's a lot of people in the United States of America who are very pro-military, who would probably embrace Gate for that perspective, where it's kind of a turnoff for me, and I think it's probably a turnoff for a lot of people in Japan and for a lot of people who are used to watching anime where it's not necessarily, you know, gung-ho look how great the military is. But I do think it's really interesting that Dwarmothrax pointed out that the manga has more of a comprehensive perspective on that. It kind of shows that the brass has more issues. I picked up a little bit of that in the episodes we watched of the anime so far, but it sounds like maybe the manga emphasize that a little bit more. So yeah, that's our mail section for Gate. Thank you to everybody who responded to the Reddit comment. And at this point, we will have to go put Gate on the big list.
Here we are. Here we are in Big List Town, in the town of the Big List. Which is currently, where is my notes? Here we go. Let's talk about what's on the Big List, MC. We have 25 shows on the Big List now. This is our 26th show. Top of the list, of course, is Batman the Animated Series, followed by number 2, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball Z Kai, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, X-Men, Attack on Titan, DuckTales, and in the number 10 slot is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then Men in Black, Dragon Ball Z, Castlevania, Pokemon, Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, Mob Psycho 100, Star Trek, Silver Surfer, Rocket Power, Miraculous, Dungeons and Dragons, SpongeBob SquarePants, Micromeister Mars, and The Legend of Zelda is the worst show we've watched so far. MC, I submit to you that this show is better than The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, by leaps and bounds. I really enjoyed this show. The first time I watched it, I really enjoyed it, which is why I put it on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think it's, like, up there. I just thought this was an interesting show to have and watch because of, like, the gate into another world and that sort of, like, fantasy sort of stuff that's happening in that other world is really interesting to see. And yet, it still seems like people are people and kind of assholes, especially when they get power.
People are people and kind of assholes. Let me give you two reference points here. In our number 8 slot is Attack on Titan, which I'm giving as a reference point as a kind of action anime. And in our number 15 slot is Restaurant to Another World, which I think works as a reference point because of the blending of our modern reality with a fantasy realm. So do you have thoughts on where it goes in relation to those two?
I reckon it's even further down the list them Restaurant to Another World. I reckon it's in like the Food Wars Restaurant to Another World area, yeah. But yeah.
I think I agree with you. I think I would put it below Restaurant to Another World because they both kind of carry that like wonder of the idea of another reality, but I just am enamored with the way that Restaurant to Another World explores that in like such a positive way. I'm just like, hey man, let's just have a meal together. It's cool.
I need to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would put it above. So we've got in a row here, we've got Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, and Mob Psycho 100. I think I would probably put this above Food Wars.
It has less of the sexy stuff that you dislike. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see you wanting to do that. I'm not sure though. Like, I think there's more to explore with Food Wars than there is than what we got to see.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, we're only seeing the first three episodes, so we've mm-hmm. got to base it on that.
I'm comfortable putting it anywhere in that range, really.
Yeah.
Anywhere amongst Restaurant to Another World, Food Wars, and Mob Psycho 100.
Yeah. Okay, let's just put it in the number 16 slot. If people want to disagree with us, they can. It's
so
fine.
That puts it below Restaurant to Another World and above Food Wars.
Yeah.
Cool. And then for the next thing, we have to pick the next show we're going to watch.
Yeah. We're doing DC cartoons.
DC cartoons, and we're gonna break format a little bit, MC, because we're gonna do five things. Do you know why?
Why?
Because Superman the Animated Series, I'm gonna put on as our number one by default, because it is the next in the actual DC shared animated universe, which we need to watch in order. And then we'll each pick two DC cartoons that are not part of the DC animated shared universe.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got Superman the Animated Series on the list. And just to clarify, the animated... Where is this list? I had it up. There was a guy named Troy Dunham. Needed some answers, how would he find them? Just Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah, I'm gonna die, yeah, you're gonna die, yeah, Troy, you're gonna die, yeah. DC shared cartoon universe. I'm gonna clarify what's in that shared universe, which would be not permissible at this time. The DC animated universe includes Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, The New Batman Adventures, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, The Zeta Project, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited. So those are the shows that we cannot include. So, what I'm going to put on for my first one is 1973's Super Friends, the Hanna-Barbera classic that I don't think I've ever actually watched.
I would like to submit it's the same era Spider-Man, the 1960s or 70s Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
With the very catchy opening tune.
I think you might be thinking of Super Friends.
It's the classic Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man.
Oh, you're saying Spider-Man. You can't, MC, this is DC. You can't put Spider-Man on this. That's Marvel.
Wait, that's Marvel.
I thought you were saying something from the same era as that Spider-Man show.
Oh, right. Oh, crap. What is it?
I'm sending you a reference list.
There we go. Let's have a look at the list so I can narrow down my options.
There are a surprisingly large number of DC animated shows, a lot of them that ran for one season. Do 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 do. Modern ones would include like Justice League Action, Beware the Batman, Green Lantern, the animated series. There's a Crypto the Super Dog series in 2005, Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, DC Superhero Girls, Superhero Girls, and then there's also a Harley Quinn show that I've heard is good. Young Justice would count for this.
I'm thinking, yeah, let's do Young Justice then.
All right, Young Justice will be MC's first pick. For my second, I'm debating between Teen Titans, because I've been watching a lot of that lately, or Batman Brave and the Bold. I'm going to do Batman Brave and the Bold, because that is one of my favorite cartoons, because it brings in so many like weird DC characters.
Oh, I've just discovered something.
What's that?
Aquaman.
From what year?
1968.
Oh, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got you need to grab a d6 this time, MC. Okay. And if it's a six, we'll just re-roll it.
Wait 1 second. I got a idea. Well, this
MC's gonna do a virtual roll. So a one will be Superman the Animated Series, two is Super Friends, three is Young Justice, four is Batman the Brave and the Bold, and five is Aquaman.
Oh, did that not work? That did not work. Oh, that's why. And we got a four.
We got a four, which is Batman, the Brave and the Bold. Have you watched this show before, MC?
I don't think I have.
It is super chunky animation style, and the hook of it is that it's just Batman. Bruce Wayne never shows up, I don't believe. But every episode is Batman teaming up with somebody else. And it brings in just the most preposterous characters from the DC universe.
I think you told me to watch this at one stage because Blue Beetle's in it.
Yep, Blue Beetle's in it. Plastic Man's in it all the time. What's the dead guy's name anyway? Is he just called Dead Man? I think he's called Dead Man is in it.
Yeah.
Gorilla Grodd is in it. There's an episode where they end up fighting Gorilla Grodd on Dinosaur Island. And Diedrich Bader plays Batman, so he's got kind of this dry delivery. And he's like, Gorilla Grodd on Dinosaur Island. Of course. And it's just like, it's the dumbest show, and I love it so much. So that's what we're going to watch next, is Batman, the Brave and the Bold. The first episode is... Where do I find it? Episodes. Batman, the Brave and the Bold, Season 1, Episode 1 is loading. Because for some reason, the internet on my phone is terrible, even though the internet here is good enough that I'm talking to my friend and MC in Australia just fine, while also keeping an eye on my baby using my iPad as a baby monitor. That all works okay, but trying to open up a Wikipedia list of all of the episodes of Batman the Brave and the Bold is not working at all. So, this is just weird. Why isn't this working, MC? Can you look up what the Batman the Brave and the Bold episode one is called? Because I sure can't.
That's what I was planning on doing, and...
Oh, look, my baby's getting fidgety. We're watching him. He's in the Zoom call with us, but it's just him sleeping in his crib. But he's getting just a little fidgety. Come on, please work. Da 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 da. This is so terrible. I got it. Batman, oh. Brave and the Bold, Season 1, Episode 1 is called The Rise of the Blue Beetle. And Episode 2, MC, is Terror on Dinosaur Island. And Episode 3 is Evil Under the Sea. Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. So we'll be back next week to talk about some Batman. This should be good. Until then, MC. Did you forget it again, or are you just pausing for dramatic effect?
Stay tuned.
That's not it.
It's not, but it's... Why is that in my head all the time?
I don't know. It's funny.
Don't change the channel.
There you go. That's the one.
That's the one.
Oh, shit. I didn't hit record on Zoom. Make sure your local recording's...
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever. So far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.